Hey, what's your problem? You have business problems? We have business solutions.
Well, maybe.
Yeah.
Life is a fight.
It is.
In business, every day is a fight.
Sure so.
So, hey, what's your problem?
Thank you, John David Wells. Check him out at the Wells Report on Facebook. He is the big voice for this particular podcast. People always ask, hey, why don't you voice it? You're a voiceover guy. I say, well, it's kind of odd with me introducing myself. Hey, Jim, here's Jim. So I had JD do it because he kind of sounds like Mike Rowe. And Mike Rowe is all about the trades and Big Dot Inc. and HQ here in Spring Hill. We're all about the trades as well because we're an electrical contractor that also does LED lighting. And are proud representatives of the all-new Octave Light. That's enough of the plugs. Not really. This is a podcast that does originate from the Big Dot HQ in Spring Hill. Check us out at BigDotLighting.com, BigDotElectrical.com, and BigDotInc.com. The What's Your Problem podcast is about problems in business and business owners and professionals around the Middle Tennessee area that have all these different problems. And we talk about it. Because, I mean, if you come on this show and you tell me you have no problems, yeah, we ain't buying it. I am your host, Jim McCarthy, with JimMcCarthyVoiceovers.com and, of course, BigDotInc.com. And we've been having a lot of BNI people on as of late because, you know, in the chapter, in the Williamson County chapter of BNI, we have a lot of cool people, a lot of interesting people, business owners and business professionals, of course. And they're in Williamson County, so they kind of fit the criteria. And it counts as a one-to-one, so why not? And I'm always intrigued with talking to people like my guest today. His name is Chad Connery. You don't have a brother or cousin or uncle named Sean, do you?
Well, not anymore because he just passed away.
I guess so. Yeah. But he no relation, I'm pretty sure.
No relation.
Unfortunately.
Not that I'm aware of.
Sean Connery.
Sean, 007.
Your mother, Trebek. If you remember that from Saturday Night Live. Please... Welcome to the show. His name is Chad Connery. He is, remind me of the business name you represent.
Peak Business Advisors.
Peak Business Advisors. You're new to the chapter, so forgive me for not being up to date on the business name, but make sure we get it out there.
Absolutely.
Chad, we start the show with what we're calling, thankfully, Miss Jen over here has suggested the name, the Random Five, inspired by the Marty Ray Project Chats podcast. He was a guest on our podcast about a month or so ago. He does something called the Fast Five, where we just kind of break the ice. This is literally you and I meeting for the first time.
Sure.
Right? So we're going to count it as a one-to-one, and we're going to warm up with the Fast Five questions here. Let me get my music bed. I'm completely unprepared, but, you know, hey, that happens. Here we go. Right. Chad.
Yes, sir.
What's your favorite souvenir that you have?
Favorite souvenir I have, I would probably say my trophy.
Your trophy? What's the trophy for?
Baseball trophy.
Really?
From when I was 14 years old. I was the MVP of the tournament.
Nice.
So big baseball guy. So I would say it's a trophy.
My son is really big into baseball.
Yeah.
You know, and he's starting to get into it. So definitely a good topic of conversation.
Sure.
What do you get every time you go grocery shopping?
Milk.
There, that's a good answer. It's kind of, you know, I do the same thing. It's usually beer or wine for me. What was your most recent lie?
Man, really put me on.
These are truly here. Random questions.
I'm not going to pass.
Okay.
How late I stayed at a meeting.
Uh-huh.
To my wife.
Okay. Well, you know, it happens. Here we go. How much time do you spend on the internet? What do you usually do?
Throughout the course of the day, I would probably say, you know, 60% of the time.
Yeah.
And I'm typically, I would say most of that is work-related.
Work-related, yeah.
Whether it's doing research, email, marketing, whatever the case may be. But I would say probably about 60%.
Very cool.
Of my day.
Man, these questions are getting weird. What's the weirdest crush you've had? It's been a while, I'd imagine. You've been married for a while, so.
Yeah, the weirdest crush.
Yeah.
I am completely going to pass on that.
I can't remember, right?
I really don't know.
Yeah. Okay, we're passing on that one. So this is the final, hopefully final question five. Could you survive in the wilderness for a month?
Absolutely.
Nice. You're pretty much out an outdoorsy kind of guy?
Absolutely.
Very cool. No well, there you go, man. There's a random five. Whew. Brought to you by sponsor yet to be determined. Brought to you by Big Dot. Why not?
There you go.
There you go. You got it?
Yeah.
I don't have the email pulled up yet, so. Jen taking notes. So, Chad, good to meet you finally, brother.
Good to meet you.
Tell me a little bit about how you got started. I mean, like I said, I'm really intrigued by business brokers because they're helping, you know, the last business broker we had in the group, he and I had a very good conversation in the previous podcast I used to produce. And we talked all about starting a business with the end in mind.
Absolutely.
You know, and a lot of people don't really do that, you know, when they start a business. Pardonne-me. Talk about your philosophy with that. You know, how did you get into things and what led you to where you are now?
Yeah, you know, I think that...
pull the mic a little bit closer, too.
Yeah, there we go.
Is that better?
Yeah. All right. Yeah, so just a little background about myself.
Yeah.
Right out of school, I went to work for the Yellow Pages.
Right.
And, you know, really cut my teeth on getting involved with the small business owners, right? Mm-hmm. That was in Memphis. And, you know, I was with the Yellow Pages for about 6 years or so there in the Memphis area and decided to move to Nashville in 99 from Memphis. And what else? I went and got into the corporate healthcare world.
Right.
You know, so completely different from what I was doing with the Yellow Pages. I was in the corporate world for about 15 years.
Right.
Learned a lot. Learned a lot of good systems, training, processes. And to be honest, after I had my daughter, which is she's five now,
okay,
I was a road warrior. I was tired of traveling.
Mm-hmm.
Been there, done that, and it was time to slow down and start spending more time with my daughter. And so, a lot of what I had learned and a lot of what I was doing in the corporate world, I was able to take those skills and training and apply those back into the business brokerage, business consulting world.
Now, do you have a legal background as well?
I do not.
Okay.
Does
business brokerage require that?
They do not.
It helps, but it...
Yeah, it helps.
Right.
It helps. But, I mean, I have a team of attorneys and a team of CPAs that as needed, I will certainly pull those guys or girls into the mix.
Is it different than being a commercial real estate agent, being a business broker? I mean, it's almost one and the same in a way.
You can compare business brokerage as almost a real estate agent. I do compare that a lot on steroids, right? Business brokerage, you have to really take a deep dive into all aspects of their business.
Right.
You know, a lot of the real estate folks, you put a listing out on the internet and you work through that process.
Mm-hmm.
But from a business brokerage standpoint, it's much, much deeper.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Because, I mean, you're talking about, you know, not only just commercial property at that point, you're talking about revenue of the business and all that other fun stuff that may come along with it.
Absolutely. I mean, you know, again, no different than when you're preparing to sell your house.
Right.
I mean, you have to prepare to sell your business.
Right.
And going through the P&Ls and the returns and a much, much, much bigger play to sell a business than it is to sell it.
Oh my gosh. Yeah. It's just, you know, revealing all the skeletons in the closet.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Now, you know, from a real estate standpoint, I've got one test left to take to get my real estate license.
Right.
I don't have to have it, but
it helps.
I decided to go ahead and get it just because it added a different revenue stream for me.
What's the time involved to do that? How long does it take to get your license in real estate?
Well, you've got to go through, 60 hour course. You got to go through another 30 hour course. You've got to take all kind of tests.
No.
So I've got one final test left to take.
Oh my gosh.
And then I got to decide on where I'm going to hang my license.
I couldn't imagine going through that right now.
Yeah.
I'm taking a drone certification.
Yeah.
I got to pass the 107, part 107 FCC, or I'm sorry, FAA. And that's a 12-hour course.
which I'm taking right now that I bought to prepare for the test. You could actually take the test right away, but you know, good luck with all the stuff that you got to know.
Yeah, you know, I just I decided that was probably a good move for me, just because a lot of the business owners that I work with have real estate involved as well.
Right. And, well, it increases your marketability.
Absolutely.
And legitimacy,
absolutely,
for sure.
Absolutely.
Now, how long have you been married?
Been married 8 years.
Okay, 8 years.
8 years.
I gotcha. Yeah. So, of course, you wouldn't remember your crush. It was 8 years ago.
Absolutely not.
Your last crush, your weirdest crush, was probably your wife.
Of course.
There we go.
Absolutely. Thank you. Thank you, Jim, for that. Thank you.
It was weird because it turned into something and you married her.
That's right.
There you go.
That's right.
Because, you know, typically crushes are, they don't last. You know, they're kind of flash in the pan.
This was much more than a crush.
Of course. Yeah. It started out that way, though, and it turned into something else. So with the business brokerage, what was the getting into it? How long, like, you know, getting into it to your first sale, how long does that take? What's typical runtime in a sale?
You know, I mean, on average, the national average to sell a business is usually between 12 and 16 months or so.
Okay.
I've had some that have been 3 months.
Yeah.
I've had some that I'm still working on 2-3 years later.
Right.
So it just depends.
So from getting started to when you first sold your first business was about 12 months or so?
The first one,
tell me a story.
Was about a year.
About a year?
And
what
again,
kind of business,
I mean,
was it?
That was a child care center.
Oh, right on.
Mm-hmm.
And they're all local here to Franklin, Middle Tennessee?
Everything that I have been working with so far has been in Middle Tennessee. I've got a couple of deals right now that I'm working in Memphis.
Yeah.
Just because I'm from Memphis. But right now it's Middle Tennessee. But I can certainly see myself expanding and growing. Going into other markets as well. And you know, a big part of that is how prepared is that business to sell?
Right. Well, that's what I was going to ask. You know, when you have a lot of these conversations, and I would imagine that you have a lot of conversations going on with business owners who might want to dip their toe in the water. All right, let's see what this thing can really go for. But I mean, what's the point where you go, dude, you don't have anything here? I mean, you pretty much find that out within the first week or first set of documents or
pretty much the first conversation.
Right.
And, you know, you can tell pretty quickly how clean a business is based off of just asking a few certain questions.
Like what questions would you ask?
Yeah. So, I mean, I have a assessment process prior to signing or signing up with anyone.
Yeah.
I'll go through and obviously I'll have to take a look at the P&Ls and their financials to see what in order they're in, you know, are they in shape?
Yeah.
How clean are they?
Mm-hmm.
You know, I don't want, any skeletons coming out of the closet after I've spent 6 months to a year, right?
Yeah.
So I really want to take a deep dive on the financials, but I also take a deep dive in a lot of the other aspects of their business, whether it's, you know, their sales or marketing department, their HR, their finance department, you know, operations, whatever that may be.
You're looking for the bright spots.
Absolutely.
Right.
Or the negatives.
Mm-hmm.
I want to identify those red flags. I want to be able to identify, you know, what truly is causing this business not to be able to go to the next level.
Right.
If another buyer comes in to take
what do you
over.
Typically find?
So the top three red flags that typically pop their little heads are usually HR,
mm-hmm.
finance, and a lot of times the sales and marketing.
Right.
HR, why? We're dealing with people.
Yeah, of course.
Right.
Yeah.
But that, you know, depends on what size business, right? Not every business you're going to have a department head. Right?
Well, you have to be able to kind of see the potential of a business for a prospective buyer.
Absolutely.
And explain that story to them.
I have to be a good storyteller.
Right.
Absolutely.
You know, hey, no business is going to be perfect. Even Amazon's got its flaws.
Absolutely.
All right. But if they wanted to sell, well, look at, you know, they've got recurring revenue that pays X amount of dollars. If you were to tweak this and this and over here, because as business owners, we get inside our own bottle. And it's tough to see it from the outside, the label that's on the outside of the bottle.
Yeah, you know, I mean, again, as I take a deep dive into the operations of their business, I can identify pretty quickly what some of those challenges may be, and really, I can also even quantify.
Yeah.
Hey, look, you know, your business is worth, you know, $1 million today.
Mm-hmm.
It should be worth $2 million.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you've got $1 million of value sitting right here.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I can go in and say, hey, I can quantify and say, well, out of that $1 million of value, $250,000 of that is coming from your sales and marketing department.
Yeah.
$250,000 of that's coming from your HR department, right? So I really encourage business owners to invest a little time and a little money to really get their business cleaned up.
Right.
Because I can, all day long, I can show them a return on investment.
So basic, what's the multiplier these days on a business? I guess a different industries are all variable. What's the average multiplier? Was it based on revenue? Excuse me, cash flow?
You know, that's a great question. I have business owners quite often call me and say, hey, you know, let's do a business valuation. Well, my first question is, what do you think your business is worth?
Right.
And
usually a lot higher than reality.
You know, quite often I have to be the bad guy and tell them, no, your business is not worth $5 million. It's worth, you know, $800,000.
Yeah. A lot less than what you think it is.
Correct.
Yeah. So you think that maybe just the perception of business owners, their own perception of their business is the first thing to tackle?
I would probably say so. Yeah. I have to be very gentle in how I approach them with that. And I have to educate them on, you know, what the business value is truly worth.
Right.
You know, I ask them, well, how did you come up with that number? And I get all kinds of different answers.
Right.
But each industry will have a different multiple. Each industry will have so many different variables as to what a true value of their business is.
Right. I mean, it also depends on the demand of the industry.
Sure.
You know, a car wash business has a tremendously different multiple than an electrical business.
Absolutely.
Right?
Yeah. I mean, I've had businesses that, you know, have gone for 4 multiple. I've had some that have gone for 10 multiple.
Right.
So it just depends. And really, at the end of the day, It's what is somebody willing to pay for your business?
Yeah. That's what you said in the car business with a trade-in.
Yep. Exactly.
You know, and I say, well, KBB says that my car is worth $8,000. And I say, well, I completely understand. Yep. But, you know, when you're taking into account marketability, different, you know, locations and things of that nature, the things that we have to do to the car, you know, we'd love to land on that number. But if all of a sudden we got to change out all 4 tires and we got to do, you know, a couple of dings and dents and things that to make it up to par with what we want to put out on our lot, you're you know, talking about a whole different animal here. And at the end of the day, it comes to that down to how bad you want that next car.
Absolutely.
Yeah. How much we're willing to sell it for and how much we're willing to pay for your car.
Yeah. You know, yeah. I mean, do you have a strategic buyer? Do you have a, you know, a bottom feeder, right? Somebody looking to come in and pay pennies on the dollar for the business. You know, do you have a company that is doing, you know, one specialty that they want to get into another industry or another complementary type service? How bad do you want it?
Well, I mean, you're also talking about buyers that would like as much of a turnkey situation as possible.
Absolutely.
Right?
And that goes back to the importance of having your business and your operations running with best practices. Everything we preach, everything we do, we talk about best practices.
In one of the episodes we did with another B&Itian, I call them B&Itians. B&I member Julie Sellers, who owns Elevated Outcomes.
Yep.
You should sit down with her if you haven't yet. Amazing mind.
Good.
She is, we just actually talked about a little bit of that, you know, getting into a business. When you see, I asked her, when you see somebody on social media who's toying with the idea of starting a business, well, hey, I'm going to give this a shot. What if you could, you get the notification, what's the first question that pops into your mind? And she says, well, I would ask them, why do you want to do this? What is your purpose of doing this? And then I would ask them again, once they answered, okay, why do you want to do this?
Exactly.
You know, what is it that you usually find? If you could grab somebody before they start a business, what is your process? What would you tell them or, you know, ask?
Well, I think the first thing is to make sure that you have your business structured in a way that is beneficial to you if and when you decide to sell it. And what I mean by that is from a tax perspective.
Right.
You know, hey, we can make as much money as we want. We can have as much, you know, revenues as we want. But when you sell it, you want to keep as much, right?
Right.
And if you're not structured the correct way, that can really, really put a...
like a corporate structure,
absolutely.
The legal structure.
Yes, absolutely. LLC, S-Corp, C-Corp, whatever the case may be. So, yeah, I would highly encourage them. And I can certainly walk them through that process as well. But, you know, I'm not going to put myself or my client into a position because I'm not a CPA, right? Or not a business attorney. I know enough about that. Mm-hmm. But at that point, I'm going to make sure that I introduce them or bring in my attorney or my CPA
to advise on those.
Make sure that from a structure standpoint.
But doesn't it start with, okay, you know, I understand that you worked for a bakery, okay, and you think you can bake the pies better than the owner and you can keep all the money if you just go off on your own. Do they understand that, you know, as long as they are the ones running the business can end up owning them?
Absolutely.
You know what I mean? You ever read the E-Myth?
I've been through that program about four times now.
Okay, yeah. And so you get what I'm saying.
Absolutely.
The technician, the entrepreneur, and the manager are the three personalities in that
absolutely.
Book.
Absolutely.
Talk a little bit about that. I mean, you get a lot of people that are, they don't even have any iota about that concept.
All the time.
Yeah.
You know, especially some of the smaller businesses that where the business owner is, you know, is working, you know, on the business and in the business.
Yeah.
And I have that conversation quite often. And quite honestly, I catch myself doing that some of that as well.
Right.
But, you know, again, from a pure education standpoint, I think it's crucial for me to have that conversation. Hey, look, at a certain point, you need to start delegating this task.
Creating processes
yeah. and systems. Absolutely. Because it will eat you alive. If you let your business run you, it will eat you alive.
Do you believe that every potential prospective new business owner should start with, okay, what is my end goal with this? Is that a requirement?
It should be.
Yeah.
It should be.
Reason why I'm going to ask that is because you follow any of the business influencers out there, Cardone, Vaynerchuk, any of those guys?
A little bit.
Okay.
A little bit,
yeah. Vaynerchuk is all about, he says, look, if you're starting a business to one day sell it, you're in the wrong business. You're doing it for all the wrong reasons.
Right.
What do you think of that statement?
Repeat that. If you're starting a business.
If you're getting into business and being an entrepreneur to one day build a business and sell it down the road, you're not doing it for the right reasons. You're not, you know, you need to love what you're doing and enjoy the day-to-day hustle.
I think there's a different mindset for different people.
Yeah, that's the one thing I disagree with him on that.
Yeah, you know, I mean, one of the things that we talk a lot about is, again, you know, people look at me like I'm nuts when I start talking about, hey, what's your exit plan?
Yeah.
Well, wait a minute, we just started the business.
Yeah, I don't know.
Right? So, I mean, and I tell business owners all the time, look, whether it's your decision or someone else's decision, you're going to exit this business.
Yeah.
Whether it's through, you know, death.
Yeah.
Or whatever the reason is. So, and I'm not saying that you have to completely have a 100% exit plan in place day one.
What's your goal? What do you want to accomplish?
Goal? Absolutely. Yeah. What is your 3-year, 5-year plan, yeah. right? You know, you see this trajectory of your business and revenue that continues to grow. Well, you know what? It may be a good time to sell as you're going up instead of flat.
Well, I mean, a lot of that is also just look, you need to be realistic about what you expect. You know, thinking about 10, 15 years from now, you may want to just get out of this thing. So you want to make sure that this thing is valuable at that particular point.
Or what about 5 years when somebody comes and says, hey, here's the blank check?
Well, I mean, in that case, that's always a beneficial situation to be in. All right.
Absolutely.
Here, yeah. I'll fill it in.
Yeah.
But I mean, you know, you could be undervaluing or overvaluing at that point. But what I'm saying is that, you know, setting the expectations on the front end from with an owner of a business who's just getting started. Okay, if you just want to do this because you think you can bake pies better, and you know, you got to understand that the business could end up owning you. Jim McCarthy Voiceovers is not a sellable business.
Sure it is. Who knows?
No, but it's based on me. It's based on me. It's my voice. I have to do all the voiceovers. So, I mean,
right.
I don't know. Who's going to be interested in doing, I'll buy your business. And okay, well, who's going to do the voice now?
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Well, you know, a lot of business owners, and I'll use the example of the childcare center that I sold, you know, the owners were running the business. They were running the operations, the whole business. They were running everything.
Yeah.
And I encouraged them, and again, this was about a year prior to selling. I said, look, you know, you guys need to start delegating and handing some of these tasks over to, say, another director, because what if something were to happen to you two, right?
Yeah.
Who's going to take over those responsibilities? So the sooner, And I call that depth of management.
Yeah.
Right. So if something were to happen to you and your team here, the upper management, could this business continue to run?
Right.
So I think it's important to have those layers.
But so many people don't. You know, it's amazing. We've got businesses right here in Spring Hill. I mean, we had Nelly's on, which is a great pizza place. If you're sticking around Spring Hill, I recommend go eat lunch there. Trust me, and you're welcome. They are, you know, I think they have a staff in place that, you know, I don't think they're at the point, and I should have asked them this when they were here. They were on the podcast as well, that they could leave. I mean, if they leave, they have to shut the business down. They have to close it for a day. It's from what it sounds like. Mm-hmm. I don't think they can leave and let somebody else run it and have as good a quality of product without revealing some recipes and secrets
Absolutely.
And that, you know, all that kind of stuff. Yeah. That's tough. I mean, even her father, who started Joey's House of Pizza, if you're familiar with that. They're off of Elm Hill Pike, and they're amazing. I mean, it's as close to New York Pizza as it gets, in my opinion. Ultimately, what happened is that, you know, they were actually in Brentwood at one point. And I asked them about this on the show. I said, you know, rumor has it that your father wouldn't open on the weekends because he wanted his weekends. And she goes, oh, yeah. See, we were only open from Monday to Friday, lunch and dinner. That was it. And we had our weekends. I said, really? I said, that's just, it's so stupefying for a restaurant to be closed on the weekend. She says, we did enough volume during the week. We had a line out the door every single day. But it was all dependent on Joey.
Right.
You know?
That's right.
How do you sell that?
It's very difficult.
Yeah.
And that certainly will decrease the value of your business. If you're only, you know, if you're solely dependent on that one person, you know, running the business, then that's gonna decrease your value tremendously.
So you have a lot of businesses. It's best to get someone like you in on the front end. So, I mean, I'm seeing almost like a consultative role for you that you can help a business owner be like, okay, we got it off the ground. Here's the plan. Let's check in every year and see where you are. That kind of thing. Is that a service that you offer as well?
Absolutely. Yeah. You know, I think there's many business brokers out there. And quite honestly, a lot of them will just simply throw a listing out on the internet and hopefully they get a bite.
Mm-hmm.
Right. The model that I've built is completely different.
Mm-hmm.
I have completely built this in a much more hands-on, more of a boutique-type business advisory firm to where we're not just selling and buying and representing buying and sellers, right?
Right.
We want to be able to prepare that business to sell.
Right.
We want to
provide it with an exit strategy.
Absolutely. Yeah. We want to be able to, you know, be there, grow with them.
Mm-hmm.
You know, help them through some of the challenges.
Right.
Because quite honestly, you know, if we do our job and we build a good relationship with our clients, you know, hopefully we will be there when they decide to sell or when their children decide to take over or they may want to buy another business.
I think I might be able to help you with that. So that's going to lead me to my next thing here.
What's your problem?
Chad.
Talk to me.
This is the pivotal moment of the show. Where we ask, what's your problem? What kind of issues you having these days? Don't tell me nothing. Because we all got something going
on. Not enough staff.
Not enough staff, okay.
Not enough staff. Yeah, you know, I think I'm running into that problem just like other businesses as well.
Well, you know Nicole Avelina. Have you met her? Nicole Appel?
I haven't met her,
right.
But yes.
Sit down with her. She's she's kind of like our headhunter in the group for BNI. And every time we always have these types of scenarios that do come up with staffing and stuff like that. She is a valuable, valuable resource.
Absolutely.
I was actually thinking going back to, and staffing is always tough because even here trying to find somebody, you know, it takes about, I don't know, 7 to 15 people we go through to find the one, right, that we want to keep.
Yep.
And, you know, they typically, they'll stick out to you, you know. I mean, I'll praise on Jennifer here. She has got, you know, she's a utility player. Her official title is warehouse manager, but we anticipate if she sticks around that'll evolve over years. But she's also a valuable player on the team because she's utility. She can do a lot of different things. She's very marketable. But the thing is that her attitude is good. You know, she's eager to get here. She's, you know, hesitant to leave at the end of the day. She wants to stick around. She enjoys the family environment. Does that make sense? And I'm not being, you know, facetious here. I'm being serious.
No, I really do care about the business.
Right. Your teeth are sunk in.
I'm pretty sunk in. Yeah. It is a family environment. I was a business owner. COVID kind of took care of that. Yeah. But as being a business owner, you have that passion. You know what needs to be done. I was setting up Octave Lights to ship out this morning, and I'm like, whoa, I don't think something's right. And I'm like, let's double check these, make sure that they are right so that we don't have an issue. They get there, they don't work, and then they have to ship them back, and then they're delayed. So it's all about taking care of the customer, making sure that everybody's happy.
But the point is that you have that trait about you that is, you have a caring trait.
That mentality.
I do. I'm pretty awesome.
You are pretty awesome. I'm going to shut up.
I can already tell.
I'm sorry. I could be such a jerk, I know. But I mean, you know, finding those people, you know, in your business, what kind of staffing issues are you having?
You know, I think it's more just admin, just really? General admin. And you know, again, I mean, I go through quite a few people as well. Mm-hmm. You know, I can probably find one good person out of, you know, similar to what you're talking about.
Yeah.
Every 5 to 7.
Yeah.
You know, that actually, and it's not just a warm body, right? It's you need people that are committed. You need people that that the chemistry is there.
Right.
Right.
Yeah, they got to be a fitting part of the team.
Absolutely.
That's one of the things, like with Rich Redmond, my one of the other podcasts I do is called The Rich Redmond Show. RichRedmond.com/podcasts. Go check it out. And he talks about that all the time, that you could be the best player, the best musician. Mm-hmm. He's a drummer for the Jason Aldean Band. Okay. If you are not a good hang on the bus, it completely can kill everything.
Absolutely.
It's amazing. It's just your attitude is so, it's got to be on point. I don't care how good you are, how talented. Yep. If you're difficult to work with or a diva, yeah, we're not interested. Isn't that amazing?
Tough. It's going to be tough. You know, I take the team approach. You know, I played a lot of, you know, high school, college, and some semi-pro baseball.
Yeah.
And I still play in a men's league now.
Right.
And, you know, I look for those type traits in people.
Yeah.
You know, the camaraderie, the teamwork, the discipline, you know, competitiveness. I interview a lot of people to see what that chemistry is like.
And isn't it tough to get past that veneer, man? Actually, Julian Sellers and I were talking about, I was listening to the podcast this morning with her on it. Yeah. We talked about, you know, some of her challenges were finding people and keeping them accountable. So she's got two people on her team, and not that they're not accountable, but it's that accountability and ownership of mentality.
Absolutely.
And I said, you know, a lot of that comes down to culture. And the story I told was the story of, I'm a huge fan of this guy. Unfortunately, a lot of people have never heard of him, but I mean, he's amazing. He's a completely unbelievably intelligent. His name is Joe Agresti. He's the CEO of the Dream Motor Group. Hmm. And they own five dealerships in the Southeast, four Mercedes and one Infiniti. They're the new dealership up by the airport, Mercedes-Benz of Music City, Mercedes-MB of MC.com. Go check them out. Yep. Cheap plug. but he's all about culture.
Yeah.
You know, he's all about making sure that they've got core values and a business, you know, kind of like a true north type of mentality of, this is what we believe. We're not an auto dealership. We are a luxury retailer. Right. Okay. That means that when the customers come in, I don't care if they're buying a $6,000 car or a $600,000 car, we're going to treat them like,
sure,
you know, this is how it's going to go. And that means you have to feel valued and part of the team. He was telling a story about how he vetted some of his executive leadership and management positions. Now, a lot of people do these types of exercise where they'll take somebody out to lunch and they measure their merit based on, or their attitude based on how they treat the wait staff. This guy took it one step further. Mm-hmm. He hired an elderly woman in a wheelchair. So as they left the restaurant, they postured the candidate out by the sidewalk, by the curb.
Wow.
The elderly woman rolled up, timing had to be right, and kind of bumped into the curb as they were walking by. And they waited to see what he would do.
Almost like the undercover boss.
It is.
Yeah.
So he was telling the story. I said, dude, you got to be kidding me. And how did it work out? He goes, Some guys would help. Some guys would just kind of keep on going. And at that point, if they wouldn't help her up onto the curb, we'd say, okay, well, we thank you for coming out. The interview's over. We wish you the best of luck.
Yeah, yeah. That's taking it a bit far. But hey, you know, it makes sense.
Because, I mean, you know, we're not going to know somebody truly until you live with them for, you know, a couple months, right? So, I mean, with that being said, getting past admin and things of that nature with staffing, the other thing is, like, you know, I'm curious about how the other areas of monetization that could be potentially useful to you, the consultation aspect of it. Hey, I know you're starting a business, but eventually let's think about selling it. You know, that cost can go against what my typical commission is. Is that what you do?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I can clearly show a, you know, return on investment, right? Yeah. Especially, you know, for the businesses that are in the process of selling.
Right.
You know, going back to the assessment of, hey, your business is worth X today. It should be worth this. You know, are you willing to leave, you know, $500,000 of value on the table? Well, let's go through the additional deep dive assessment process, and let's go then through the executable plan.
Yeah.
Let's fix these things. Mm-hmm. There's not a lot of investment nor time that the business owner really needs to put in to make a big difference to narrow that value gap.
What are you trying to look for? Like every week in B&I, what are you asking for?
You know, I think really it's just more of a just referrals. Hey, you know, you guys know anyone that is possibly looking to sell?
Right.
Or someone that's looking to grow through acquisition.
Yeah. Here's the thing. And that I've worked with a myriad of business brokers throughout the years in B&I. One of the more successful guys, and for the longest time, I didn't really understand what he did or how I could refer him.
Sure.
But he started actually, this is when we used to meet in person, and maybe this will be a tip that you take along and this will help you.
Sure, absolutely.
He would actually print out, I don't know, 20 or 30 so different flyers of a business, a featured business that he had in his portfolio, and just put them in front of each member and say, hey, this week we got a pizzeria that's up on 12th Avenue. It's been there for 20 years. They do X amount per year. This is a turnkey business. Whoever buys it for X amount of dollars will, you know, be making money day one, that kind of thing.
Yep.
Have you thought about doing that?
That's a great idea.
Thank you.
That is a wonderful idea.
Thank you so much. So that it, you know, don't blow smoke up my you know what. Tell me if is it.
No, it is. No, yeah. It's a great idea. And I do that. I do that to a lot of bankers.
Do you?
You know, as I get new clients.
Yeah.
I will send that out to, you know, a lot of my CPA clients and my bankers because, you know, they already know a lot of business owners as well.
Right. Well, how many businesses do you currently have for sale you're representing?
Right now, I guess we've got about seven right now.
Okay.
But it can go anywhere from, you know, 20 to 30 to two.
But let's try it out. You want to talk about one of them right now?
Let's see. Yeah.
Sure.
We have a... No, actually, I can't because that one's in. We're already in. Have a LOI on that one, right. So I better not go there.
See, that's the thing, man. You should have one right off the top of your head, man. I got a great one.
Well, so I've got one in Middle Tennessee.
Yeah.
Been around for 22 years. I think I mentioned to you guys earlier. It is a very well established, very profitable, very good business. It has massage.
Mm-hmm.
It has physical therapy. It has...
Like a wellness center.
A wellness center.
Gotcha. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. It is a holistic type wellness center.
And you can't reveal names or anything like that, right?
No.
Okay. It's just got to be generic type of...
Absolutely.
You know, okay.
Yeah. At the beginning. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, our number one priority is keeping everything confidential.
Right.
You know, because then you run the risk of... You know, your employees finding out.
Sure.
You run the risk of your clients finding out.
Yeah.
You know, and you don't want that.
Yeah. That upsets the apple cart.
Well, because at that point you have nothing to sell.
Right. Well, I mean, if everybody finds out, well, what do you mean you're selling?
Yeah.
You
know, that's right. Yeah. I've got a med spa and laser clinic for sale. Mm-hmm. It's about a $1.3 million revenue business.
Nice.
They're profiting, their EBITDA is around the 400,000 mark.
Nice.
Per year.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, they do all the laser hair removal, tattoo removal, you know, fractional
I mean, if somebody comes in there with a marketing mindset, they'd be like, I can blow this business up the door next year.
Absolutely.
Because there have been businesses, I was in radio, and one of the big businesses that advertised on radio all the time was Sona. And they must have done they must have crushed it.
Yep.
They advertised all the time.
Well, I'll say this. This facility spent about $184,000 last year on advertising.
Yeah, which is low. I think it's low. But I mean, if that's 5 to 15% of their revenue, sure. Do the math.
Absolutely.
Yeah, that's where it should be.
Yep.
So I found out. But I mean, maybe that's something just keep in your pocket, man.
Sure.
That's,
yeah, absolutely.
Always have a business that's ready to go. I mean, I as soon as he started doing that, all of a sudden it made sense to me. I was like, oh.
Yeah.
Now I get it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So, you know, absolutely. For what it's worth.
No. Good call.
Well, thank you very much, brother.
Absolutely. Thank you.
COVID, I mean, with a lot of business owners, I mean, how has that kind of impacted your business?
Well, you know, there for about 4 months of last year, everything shut down. I had probably 3 or 4 deals that we were almost at closing. And everything just stopped.
Wow.
So that has, those are starting to come back around, now that we've kind of trying to figure everything out. But, you know, there's a lot of business owners that I'm seeing that the COVID is pushing them to sell.
Right.
They really weren't wanting to sell. You know, maybe you say you got a business owner that's, you know, early 60s. Hey, he wanted to wait for 4 or 5 more years to sell.
Yeah.
He's done.
Well, I mean, your back's against the wall, especially if it's not a seller's market. Right.
But on the flip side, I've got clients that are having record breaking years.
Yeah, that's true. There are a lot of businesses. I mean,
you know, so I hear it and see it all. I mean, I've got those businesses that COVID has shut their doors.
Right.
Has forced them to shut their doors. But then I've had others that are just absolutely killing it.
Isn't that crazy? The other question I had is that when you do sell a business, and like this one that you're talking about, the wellness center, mm-hmm. right? And they sell it off to somebody else. Are you there to help consult with the new owners as well? Is that another source of revenue for you? I mean, okay, now that you've bought it, you know, even though you may not, I guess you're representing the owner, the buyers as well at that point. Does it work like real estate sometimes? You have a buyer's agent?
Similar. So, you know, if I'm representing the seller, I always try to build that relationship even with the buyer to say, hey, look, you know, I would still like to be involved in some way.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's always going to be that transition.
Yeah.
With the...
Well, somebody coaching them on, you know, not letting or retaining confidence with the employees and the customers.
Absolutely. Right? Absolutely. So, you know, and a lot of times I turn into, a COO type role.
I got you. Really?
Yeah. And, you know, I enjoy that because I get to stay involved in the business.
Right.
Helps me build those relationships.
So that's another service you provide.
Correct.
So is it similar to the consultative on the front end with the seller?
Absolutely.
I got you.
Absolutely.
I got you.
Mm-hmm.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Well, I learned a lot about you, man.
Yeah. Well, that's good.
Anything, appreciate you know, isn't this the best podcast you've been a part of?
Oh, absolutely.
Awesome.
The one and only I've ever been a part of.
So therefore the best.
But you know what? Absolutely the best. So I'm never, ever will be a part of another podcast.
So if you're looking for people who are thinking of selling or maybe even thinking of buying a business, right? On both ends. Correct?
Both ends. Absolutely. Yeah. I can represent buyers and sellers.
Yeah.
You know, I have buyers, you know, hey, I've got some cash.
Right.
You know.
They want to put it somewhere, make an investment.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
So, you know, my first question to them would be, well, what are you looking for?
Right.
Well, most of them will say, well, I don't know. I just want a business. Well, you know, my response is, well, help me out a little bit here.
Yeah.
You know, give me a little
criteria. What do you specialize in? I mean, it's one thing in the beginning of a business, especially being 5 years into it, 5 years, right?
Right.
Into it. It's really, you know, I think you, like with Big Dot, we're 5 years in. We started out as purely selling LED retrofits and upgrades for businesses, right? One particular path. We kind of started getting into electrical at some point, little service jobs here and there, maybe some build outs. We had a very large, set forth 1,000 ships type of project in 2018 that really helped put us on the map. But we're discovering that as things kind of come to us, like the market is telling us what they need in a way. And we kind of have figured it out. We haven't had much of a plan. We're getting better at that with the past 2 or 3 years. We brought on a brilliant mind. I think you met him, John.
Yeah.
And he's helped us really. He's like the CEO, well, pretty much the CEO of the company, right. Seeing the strategy and vision and things of that nature. Right. He's developed the product called Octave Lighting, which you've probably seen the logo pop up here a couple of times. That is really paving the way of a tremendous future for the business as a product offering that we can service, we can install. There's a as a service type of, or technology as a service, managed services type of recurring revenue component to it. So it's very exciting. In addition to the electrical, in addition to LEDs and, you know, sourcing our own product and stuff like that. So we've got a lot of different avenues on the web, if you will.
Sure.
to keep revenue flowing. So
yeah,
it's very exciting. But I mean, with a business like ours, what do you see? And I'll put you on the
spot. You know, I think that you know, for the service business in general,
recurring branding,
absolutely,
marketing,
yeah. You know, I see the, you know, heating and air companies, the plumbing companies, the landscape companies, the roofing companies. You know, not I really haven't worked with many of the lighting companies,
right?
But I could certainly see where this type of company would fall into that category.
Right.
You know, I could approach, you know, some of the big boys, medium-sized business that's wanting to buy their competition.
Well, here's another avenue that you can actually expand upon is that, you know, any big facilities that you're representing or are seeking out, we can help them out, man.
Absolutely.
You know?
Absolutely.
We'll, you know, throw a little cheddar your way for that too.
I hear you.
Hey. So I'm going to infer or introduce a new feature here, Jen.
Yes.
What did you learn?
What did I learn?
What did you learn? What's one thing you can pick out and learn from this episode? I'm totally, you know, throwing this on you.
Putting me on the spot.
Putting you on the spot. Yeah. Totally putting
you
on the spot.
As bad as you putting the Nerf darts in my ears.
It's not that bad.
It's pretty close.
One thing that you've learned. Just tell me. What comes to mind? Now.
Within business, it never hurts to have other people that can guide you and who have connections that may be able to help you out later on down the road.
That's a good thing to learn.
Absolutely.
It's a great thing, though. You glean something massively valuable.
Team approach.
No?
No, I agree.
We need to get a camera
on
you.
And it seems to be, well, not only that, but it seems to be most of the people we have on the podcast have issues with staffing.
Mm-hmm.
Or he said the same thing earlier that Angie Tate did.
Okay.
I have a team that does this. Like, she has a team. This team does my roofing. This team does this. This team does this. He just said, I've got lawyers. I've got real estate.
He's a resource. I was going to say the same thing. I learned that from you, that you're also a valuable resource.
Yeah.
So, yeah, absolutely.
What have you learned, Chad?
You know, I've learned that, one, this will be my one and only podcast.
Why do you say that?
No.
Was it a good experience?
It really was. It was. It was very good. Great to meet you guys.
You too.
You know, you guys have an amazing facility here.
Thank you.
I can tell you guys have a lot going on, a lot of opportunity.
We're excited.
I would love to be a part of that growth somehow.
Sure. We'll have to figure something out. I mean, one way or another, we can certainly discuss off the air. But, I mean, thank you for coming in. Anything else that you want to put out there? How can people find you?
Yeah,
social media and all that stuff?
Yeah, we're on Facebook, LinkedIn. Website is www.peakbusinessadvising.com. And yeah, I would love to just sit down and have a conversation with you. No obligation whatsoever. One of the first things that I always require is to sign a confidentiality agreement.
Sure.
Basically just states that anything that is discussed is confidential.
Right.
So, you know, I think that... That's a very big, you know, I guess, concern a lot of business owners have.
Yeah, an NDA.
Absolutely. Right. Absolutely.
And it's understandable. What's the one thing, and this is something I should probably start asking a lot of my guests, what do you believe about what you do?
I know for a fact that I help people.
Right.
I know for a fact. A big part of the reason, well, big reason why I got out of corporate was because I just didn't feel that I was helping.
Part of the machine.
Absolutely. Yeah. My very first client, when I went out on my own, this man was about 70 years old. Just a very grumpy man, mm-hmm. very unhappy man.
Right.
About 2 months into it, I was in for a consulting project. We were preparing him to sell his business probably within the next year to 2 years.
Yeah.
2 months into it, he walked up to me and said, "You know what, Chad? What you're doing for my business is helping me sleep again at night."
Right.
I can't put a price tag on that.
That's beautiful.
That right there, I immediately went to my car and called my first crush, my wife. You know? But yeah, and then 2 weeks later, his wife comes up to me and says, "Whatever you're doing for Carrie," was his name.
Yeah.
"Whatever you're doing for Carrie, keep doing it because it's helping our entire family."
See, right there, I hear a positioning statement coming into life. One of the things that I coach a lot of clients over the years in radio, because one of the difficult things a business owner has is how to best explain his business succinctly, yep, within 6 to 10 words.
Sure.
So that's why I say, what do you believe about what you do? You know, someone comes up to you at a networking mixer or something like, right, that. Well, I believe in helping business owners sleep better at night. Maybe starting out that way,
sure,
you know, and we get their business in order and figure out where all the different voids and potential catastrophes that may lie around the bend. We try and take care of all of them.
Absolutely.
And, you know, if you could tell me that I help you sleep better at night because what I've done with your business and helped you, then I know I'm doing my job.
I can't put a price tag on that.
Right.
And, you know, just that one thing alone.
Yeah.
Helped me solidify the fact and took that leap of faith to,
right,
to go back out on my own.
What do you tell people when they ask you what you do?
Well, I mean, I let them know that I'm a boutique business advisory firm,
right,
that represents buyers and sellers, whether they're looking to buy a business, sell a business, grow a business.
Do people typically understand that right off the bat?
Yeah, most of the time. Yeah. You know, to be honest, I don't necessarily like using the terminology business broker.
Right.
Just because that I think business brokers have sometimes kind of muddied up the.
See, I don't think they have. I don't, really, have that impression. You know, I think, you know, realtor, real estate agent these days has got a very commoditized feel to it.
Sure.
You know, of course, you got used car salesman, that kind, right, of thing. Right. But no, business broker, I've never really had that. You know, I figure maybe because the few I've known,
sure,
have been like, we want to help the business.
Absolutely.
You know, because it's in our best interest to make sure your business is sellable and we all make money.
Sure.
Right.
Yep.
So, I mean, that's kind of how I see it.
Yeah.
You know,
because a lot of business brokers will actually send me their work to do.
Right. Well, that's interesting. How's that? So, yeah, they walk away from a potential business and you're like, okay, I'll take you on.
Well, no, I mean, they will actually sign the client up.
Right.
And they'll send it over to me and maybe, you know, provide me a certain commission or fee to basically run through the entire due diligence process for them.
Right. Meaning, figuring out all the different numbers and, correct, the skeletons and all that stuff.
The marketing.
Oh, my gosh. Look at all the revenue streams you have.
Everything, yeah, from lead generation, you know, all the way to close.
Yeah. That's interesting, man. Social media-wise, what do you do? I mean, what kind of stuff are you putting out to, you know, get? I mean, I would imagine it's not an easy business to make look sexy, you know?
No.
And I've worked with businesses like that in the past. What kind of stuff are you putting on social media?
You know, I put a lot of articles out, you know, about, you know, preparing yourself from a tax perspective.
Right.
You know, don't work in your business. You know, don't let your business run you.
Right. Right.
A lot of operations, mm-hmm, type articles. You know, things that business owners probably know.
Mm-hmm.
But they just need to be reminded of.
I would actually start with engaging questions, you know, absolutely, ask starting conversations and things of that nature. Starting a, you know, a business brokerage group on Facebook, that kind of thing. Is anybody, sure, doing that?
I think there's a couple out there.
Are they?
Yeah, there's some networking groups out there specifically for business brokers.
Because, mm-hmm, it's kind of interesting. You start a networking group and you're the center of it. you know, not a networking group, but a Facebook group that attracts businesses with a similar set of problems. So let's say if your specialty is restaurants or gymnasium or, you know, workout facilities or something like that, you know, maybe it's that's the thing. So I've seen a lot of guys who are, their service is selling training, sales training, management training, because you're kind of doing the same thing. You're selling a training of sort.
Sure.
Business management training. But they have these, one of the guys who actually is a car sales trainer, his name is Jonathan Dawson. He's built a tremendous business. And his whole thing is called Sellcology. So his whole Facebook page is the Sellcology Facebook, which attracts a lot of the guys he needs to get in front of.
Sure.
And, or at least sing his praises. Right. And he gets on there every day and says, guys, you know, have you tried this kind of a close? Have you tried this this prospecting technique? You know, here's the, you know, that kind of stuff.
Sure.
Maybe another idea to kind of try out, you know.
Absolutely.
I don't know. What other brokers are doing stuff like that?
And yeah, there's a few out there that are doing that. Yeah, there's certainly some broker networks out there.
Right.
But, you know, and one of the things that I do want to get more involved with in 2021 is certainly doing more of those type things.
Right.
You know, not so much of, hey, you know, are you looking to sell, but more of an education.
Right. Because, I mean, then it gets you on their radar.
Sure.
That if you are all of a sudden an expert.
Absolutely.
And you have a person of interest, that's the whole thing, is becoming a person of interest.
Sure.
And they seek you out when the time comes.
Absolutely.
Because if you're the expert, you know, if you're not doing X, I mean, and I talk about a lot of the Vaynerchuk type of philosophies. He's very definite in his concrete in his approach to doling out the advice on social media the way he does. This is the way I know I've done it. If you're going to do it this way, you're going to fail.
Right.
You know,
right.
That kind of thing. You know, if all that stuff. If you have something to share and nugget every day, my gosh, maybe you need to start a podcast.
Hey, maybe.
Yeah.
I know somebody that can give me some really good advice.
I know him too. He's an okay guy.
Yeah.
But thanks for coming on, man.
Absolutely.
I really do appreciate coming all the way out here.
Thank you very much.
If you guys want to like, subscribe, listen, and all that fun stuff, go check out whatsyourproblempodcast.com. That is whatsyourproblempodcast.com. Of course, we've got the Facebook page. Follow us there. We have always putting up new episodes and clips and all that fun stuff. And of course, you know, rate it. That's how we get a lot more people listening to this thing. If you don't like it and want to give us a 1-star, hey, we'll take it on the chin. That's okay. But please, share it out. We really do appreciate it. Once again, Chad, thanks for coming on and coming
out. Thank you for having me.